hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I am not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken.
God, help us surrender to you as we praise, as we realize that there isn't fear, God, that does not come from you. God, help us live for you. Help us surrender this fear that's so easy to well up within us. God, we need you. God, we give you praise.
My eyes.
give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are but by now they fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Within your love, my heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Praise your faithfulness, I'm still in your confidence, you never fail.
Well, good morning. I feel a bit strange here this morning. It's a Friday morning. Usually I don't preach on a Friday morning. And I'm also very disappointed because I should be on my way to Israel today. We had plans to go to Fargo last evening, stay overnight, and then get on the plane, begin our journey from Fargo to Chicago to Newark, New Jersey, and then Newark, New Jersey to Tel Aviv, Israel. And now I can't go because of a silly little virus. And I'm very disgusted with that. So God has changed my plans, just like he's changed your plans. And so now we find ourselves being quarantined. And I don't know if you're enjoying this, being isolated, not going to school, being around your family constantly. That can be quite a challenge because you're not used to that. Well, that's a challenge for me too. I think all of us are struggling with this. But we do want to have some prayer requests this morning as we enter into this, because all of us are facing something that we really don't know what we don't know. And so there's so many unknowns about this particular coronavirus. And so we do want to pray that God will intervene and that this thing will stop and we can resume our normal lives. And I'm sure most of you would agree with that this morning, wouldn't you? You'd like to have a normal life again? And I would too. So I'm going to ask Brian if he'll come up, and we're going to share some requests with you, and we're going to pray with him, pray together, that God would stop this virus and protect our community, first of all, that we as believers would be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit in meeting needs around us, that we would have wisdom as we lead and serve in unprecedented times, that our government, community, and health leaders have wisdom as they give guidance to our communities, that God would protect our public health workers as they help those who are contaminated with this particular virus, and then that the underprivileged and vulnerable would be protected and provided for. So we do want to pray, because we realize in a crisis, I think all of us want to get on our knees before God and realize that he is the answer to all of this, and then he'll enable us to get through it. So I'm going to ask Brian if he would begin first, as we begin to lift some of these requests before the Lord together.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for today, the opportunity to just be alive, to the opportunity to serve you, Lord, in whatever capacity you would have for us. And Lord, now we come to you with, Lord, with just a heavy heart as we're away from one another, as we've been asked to separate, to quarantine, to isolate, Lord God. You tell us in your word that not to forsake the fellowship, Lord, and we don't feel like our hearts are telling us to do that, but we want to be obedient too. And so Lord, we're here now before your throne, and we're just asking that you would work in this time, that you would work in our hearts, that you would teach us to be still before you, to call upon your name, Lord, that you would show us what we're missing when we're not gather together as a fellowship, Lord, that you would show us the importance of fellowship and how we grow and how we strengthen and how we encourage one another. And Lord, so we have these needs, Lord. We have this virus that's running rampant, Lord, and we have people who are afraid. Lord, may this morning, may they turn to you. May this be an awakening in the church. Lord God, may your name be proclaimed. May people hear your words and believe it, Lord God. So we just ask now, as Stan opens the word, your word, Lord, and we read that we would see it in a fresh and a new way, and that we would desire to tell everyone the truth about who you are, Lord God. So I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for technology that allows us to reach the masses, even when we're not able to go out into the streets or door to door. So we just pray a special blessing this morning on Stan as he speaks. Lord, may it ring true. May your words be heard.
Thank you, Brian. We do want to continue here, just again focus on a few of these requests, because we all sense emergency and that we need God to do an act. So I'm going to bow too as we continue to pray. Father, I thank you so much for my brother Brian, and thank you that we are co-workers in your kingdom and in this local body. And Father, we realize how desperately we need you. We need you in this community and our communities all around this nation and in the world. Lord, this is very destructive. We realize that there is not a vaccine or there's a cure for this particular coronavirus. And so, Father, we pray that you would guide the doctors and the engineers as they're trying to find a cure for this. We thank you that we can trust in you and look to you for each one of our needs. And so, Father, as we are quarantined and not able to be together socially, and as we distance ourselves from one another, may we not distance ourselves from you during this particular time. May we draw close to you and realize again how much we need you. So, Father, we lift up the government. We lift up our president. We lift up our those that are working with those that are sick. Lord, protect them, guide them, give them your wisdom. Father, we all need it now so desperately, so we ask for it. And we just thank you that we can be encouraged today, that we can look to you and have hope. We thank you that things are not hopeless with you. So we do pray that you would guide our thoughts as we go through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when trouble strikes, God is sufficient to get us through it. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Aren't you thankful for that word that Jesus has given us? That is, he has overcome the world. And we will have trouble. We live in a broken, fallen world. And we realize once again how broken it is at this particular time. In James 1, 2, and 4, we read this, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be complete and perfect, lacking in nothing." God allows us to go through these experiences because he wants us to draw close to him and to realize that he is the answer to our needs, especially as we go through this trouble together. So I want to encourage you as we open up this morning and look at Psalm 46, and as we read it together and realize again how important our God is as he helped these individuals. And I just realized I didn't bring Psalm 46 up here. Can we cut it? Okay. Is it still running? All right. Well, that's the first gaffe. So hopefully I won't have too many more. But I would like to read Psalm 46 and focus on this word that God has given us during a time of trouble. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come before the works of the Lord and how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, our refuge." As we look at this particular song, every song or psalm has a history to it. And this particular one is found in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 30. As I've studied the book of Psalms, it's so interesting to go back into the history of many of these songs. And that's what a psalm is. It's a song composed out of actual experience that those who put this together have gone through. And so I'm going to start reading in verse 1. So if you have your Bibles handy, please get one. And I just borrowed Brian's so he doesn't have one. But it's important for us to realize that out of this particular historical setting, this particular psalm came forth. Begin reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Unites, declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They already are at Hazanon, Tamar." This was another name for Engedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah in Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz, at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory, for he is with you. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." What a message from this young prophet to give to these people who are crying out to God for deliverance. And out of this, we get Psalm 46, as it was put together by a number of musicians, some men and some women, some from the tribe of Levite, and others who are going to join this great choir and praise God, because they knew that God was going to give them deliverance in their time of trouble. It's so good to know that. I hope this morning you realize that too, that we can cry out to God. In fact, he says, as he begins this psalm, that he is a very present help to those in trouble, to those in need. God is our strength and a very present help in trouble. Aren't you thankful that we can call on God at any time and in any place, and that he is there? He is present, just like he is present here this morning among us. Though there are few of us, hopefully there'll be more of you watching as we are putting this out through the internet. It's so encouraging as I stand before you this morning to realize that we have a God, first of all, who is there for us and calls upon us to come to him in our time of need. a very present help in trouble. What is a refuge? Well, a refuge is a place where you can go and be safe. And right now, as we're quarantined and as the government has told us to not have any crowds larger than 10 people, their input into our lives is important, and we need to heed that because we want to separate and isolate ourselves from this virus that is so contaminating and so devastating to the human race. And we can go into a refuge. A refuge, again, is where we are with God and as we fellowship with Him. And He is our strength, and He is a very present help in the time of trouble. No problem, whether emotional, physical, or spiritual, is too big for our God. If we learn to take refuge in Him and lean on Him alone for strength, then with the psalmist, we can face the most extreme crises with quiet confidence because God is with us and He is sufficient. Do you believe that this morning, that God is with us? Jesus said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have a God who is ever present with us. And so as you look at this background and what Jehoshaphat was facing and those that were in the kingdom of Judah, we realize again that we too need to have deliverance as God delivered them from their particular peril in this war against those nations. So God is present, first of all, to calm His people. Again, we're so thankful for that. We're going to go through natural disasters from time to time. And we read that here. It says, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. But let me stop there at verse 3. Because what we're talking about is natural disasters that come upon our earth. And we're all acquainted with these. When we think of hurricanes, when we think of earthquakes, when we think of windstorms, we think of floods. And that's what this is referencing too. That these are things that happen in our world. And though all of these things take place in our world, we can still have confidence that God is going to be our refuge and our strength. And we do not have to fear, even though all of these take place. I don't know if you're fearful right now, but I certainly am. When I went on a cruise, and they were telling us maybe we shouldn't get on the ship because a lot of cruise ships have been contaminated by that virus. But we made a decision to get on the ship. We were out on that ship for 7 days, and in the back of our minds, we always had this thought, are we going to come in contact with that coronavirus? And we were praying that we didn't. And we're still praying because we've been told even though we're off the ship and we're back in our own town in Bemidji, Minnesota. Pardon? Oh, excuse me. I wandered away a little bit too far. Even though we're back here in Bemidji, Minnesota, we still have to be extremely cautious and careful about having contact with others. But again, we went on that particular cruise ship because we prayed and we wanted to do God's will. And not only that, we realized that if we didn't get on that ship, it would be delayed. And we had spent money getting to Orlando. We had spent money getting into that area. And we were going to be forfeiting that. So we were not only driven by wanting to go because we felt God leading us, but we also realized we were going to lose some money. Now, whether that impacts you or not, we realized that we wanted to carry out what we were committed to do. And so as we got on the ship, we were praying, and during our tenure on that ship, we felt like God was answering the prayer. And then when we got off the ship, again, we felt we needed to trust God. And so here I am before you this morning. I never would have imagined in my wildest dreams that I'd be standing before practically an empty congregation, empty church, because of a virus. Not in my wildest dreams could I have come up with that, just like you probably have wondered too. But because of all of these natural disasters that happen, this broken world in which we live, God has come to calm His people. And I think of any people who should be calm, it should be us as believers. We should realize what's important and what isn't important. We should also trust God through all of this. And we shouldn't panic. And so many people today are panicking and they're wondering what is going on. And so their panic has led them to do very strange things, like hoarding toilet paper. I could never understand that, and I still can't understand that. But God wants us to realize that He can calm our fears as we trust in Him. And I'm so thankful again this morning that He's given me enough toilet paper at home that I don't have to go out and try to find some. You know, God is also present to comfort His people as we realize again that He is our helper. He's our helper in time of need. And we read this also in John 14, 26 and 27. But the helper, comforter, counselor, advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. And again, I'm so thankful that I have the Holy Spirit living in me, just as you do in you if you know Christ. Because the Holy Spirit indwells us as followers and believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that wasn't the experience in the Old Testament. It was usually localized. They had to go to the temple where God's presence was in the holies of holies. And they felt safe when they were close to the presence of God as they were near the temple of God in Jerusalem. Well, we know that God is everywhere. We know that God is omnipresent. We know that God is here this morning. And we know that God is here to comfort His people. So I don't know where you are in the spectrum of struggling with this particular virus. My prayer is that you'll look to the Lord to comfort your heart, to give you His peace that only He can give. Because there's nothing greater in this life than to know the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. So God is present to comfort His people. God is present to calm us down, to calm His people. And then finally, as we look at this particular psalm, we see also that God is present. He is present to control the nations. And I think it's so important for us to understand that too, that God is present to calm the nations. And I do have that here, I believe. You'll have to excuse me. This is the first time I've done this on video. And a little disorganized, but trying to get through it. Thirdly, God is present to control the nations. And what I mean by this is that God is sovereign over all the nations. And I think it's important for us in a time like this to realize that. That things are not out of control with Him. God knew about this. And God is there to help us through it, to comfort us through it. But He's also in control. He has not vacated His throne. He is still sitting on the throne. And we need to understand that. Because when the rest of the world is out of control, we can come to our God and realize that He still holds the world in His hands. And that He still is directing the affairs of this world, and especially of the nations of the world. It's an amazing thing when you look at a map and you see all of the nations of the world infected with this virus. Something I've never seen before in my lifetime. And how every nation is battling this particular virus. And how all these nations together realize they need help. Isn't it an amazing thing when you think about life that God usually has to get us in the place and He has to humble us before we look up and realize how much we need Him? And that's true right now. And it's my prayer for those of you who are at home and going to watch this video that you will fall on your knees and ask God to deliver us from this particular onslaught of this pestilence, of this virus that is so destructive and killing so many people. And I again believe that God can work through individuals. I don't believe our God is against science. I believe our God is the greatest scientist who exists because He created everything. And he's given us the ability to create also. That's one of the images that God has given humanity, is to be creative. And I hope and pray that you are going to look to the Lord and beseech him that God is somehow going to move among these scientists and among these engineers, that they're going to come up with a cure, a vaccine for this particular virus. I believe God can do it. I believe God will do it. But in the meantime, where should we be and what should we be focusing on as individuals? God is a very present help in the time of trouble. He's there to calm us in our fears as we look at what the pandemic is doing around our country, especially as people are panicking. He's there to comfort us as we are struggling with what we are dealing with, being quarantined. He's there to help us through it as we look at the rest of the nations. And again, as we see our desperate need to gather in this world. Do you believe that God will see us through it? Will God see you through it? My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I want you to know that I struggle as you do, but I want you to know where my hope is. My hope is ultimately in our God, who is able to help us through it and to see us through it, and that we can come out stronger. Because the Word of God says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God wants to grow us through this particular period of time. And it's difficult. It's so difficult to be still. It's so hard to be isolated. But yet in moments of stillness, in isolation, we can have this wonderful fellowship with our God and to realize again that he's with us and he'll see us through it. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. We're going to try this again next week and hopefully we'll improve a little bit. I have to tell you, it's very difficult to do this, and I've struggled with this, my first opportunity to do this, and I don't think I'd want to do this on a regular basis. It seems a little bit strange and unfamiliar. But we're praying for you, the church at home. We want you to know that we're going to be in contact with you. We want to know how you're doing. We're going to be praying for you, and we're going to be looking forward to being united once again as a church family. But until that time, I just pray we'll all continue to look to Jesus, and that we'll trust in him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your mercy and your grace, and we realize again in a moment of a crisis how much we need you. So, Lord, I do pray. I pray, first of all, for the world and for all of those who are suffering. Father, we pray that your grace will be there. I pray that you'll draw them unto yourself, that through this time of humbling and this time of suffering, Lord, that you'll remind them that you're there for them. And then I think of our local church body. Father, I ask that you will keep us safe, that we will find you as our refuge through all of this, and that we'll come out stronger and realize again that you're there to help us through it. You're there to calm us. You're there to comfort us. And Father, that you are still on the throne, where we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.